wants me to and unload the way he wants me to. And pray that his open hearts this morning just do what needs doing. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning and realizing I'm nothing. Lord, every time I stand behind this pulpit, I realize I'm nothing and you're everything. And if anything's accomplished, Father, it'd have to be you that does it. I ask you to help us today. Oh, God, help us this day. And we'll thank you for what you do. Give me clarity of thought and speech and open hearts and remove hindrances. And, Father, allow the Holy Ghost free course in our midst. Do what needs doing. Father, we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I guess I'll have you turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm going to read in another place. I just want to kind of talk for a minute while you're turning. I want to say this. I don't think there is no greater work in the Lord's work or for the Lord's cause than godly motherhood. I want to say that this morning. And mamas, I know this. You're not very much appreciated like you ought to be. I think you are, but I think it's kind of a deep thing until it's one of those deals until you're missed or gone or out of the picture that you're not appreciated like you ought to be. I know that's the case with my mother. My mother's a champion. She's just a champion. That's all I can say about her. Never complains or grumbles, 86 years old, crippled on one side, takes her 30 minutes to walk from the, that's an exaggeration, but takes her a while to get around and do. I'll say this to her, Mom, how you doing? Pretty good. Never complains. Always, never really talks about people, just tries to see the good. I mean, just a champion. And really never appreciated her like I should until I have become old. I guess I just took her for granted. And I'm ashamed to tell you all that, but she's rock solid, and I appreciate that. Godly mothers shape the future of our country, of the next generation, and really thus shape the future of our country. What is it they say, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world? There's some truth to that. And I understand man is the head of the home, and he sets the direction. Oversees all that goes on, or should anyway, but really it's that mother that's there with those kids day in and day out, that hands-on parent that I think helps shape those children into what they need to be. Kind of helps them with their character, their self-discipline, their work ethic, morality. You could just keep going. It's that hands-on, I think, that makes a difference. And so, I don't think we're out of line to say that mothers shape the future. And Mom, I just want to say to you, golly moms, I truly appreciate these young people we see up here. Here's what you can say. Well, the pastor, he had a hand in helping that. Their dad had a hand in helping that. And that's true, they did. But can I say who I think really shaped a lot of that is these dear moms that get no credit. I mean, who? I think about what Kelly Bass said. She had to sit at the piano with Ben for 3 years to get him to do sat there with him for 3 years to get him to do what he needed to do. Now, I guarantee you, and Chad, I'm not throwing off, you're a great dad, you would not have done that. I think. I don't think you would. And I wouldn't have. My wife might have, but I wouldn't have had it been my child. You would be musically illiterate, Ben, had it been up to me. But a godly mom, he's the result of a godly mom who saw in that child maybe what the rest of us didn't see. That's right. I'm not just singling Kelly Beth out. She's the one I know about. But there's moms all over this house who have done those, who have made those kind of sacrifices for their children. And I might miss it, and you might miss it, but there's God in heaven. He's keeping a record of it, Mom. Don't you worry. Don't you worry about it. Payday's coming somewhere down the road. And so, Mom, I just want to tell you this is your day and day we've set aside to honor mothers. And I truly appreciate godly mothers. And our youth are what they are in this church, I think, primarily. And I know there's other factors. I'm not... When it comes Father's Day, I'll be emphasizing fathers, but these mothers have made a significant difference. And there's children, there's mothers here who children are not here, but they are what they are because of their mothers. And so I'm just trying to say thank you. Thank you. And I know some of you mothers are handicapped. You have to work and you can't be home, and I'm not throwing off, but that limits you a little bit. And I understand that. It can't be helped. I'm aware of that. But I want to talk to you today about a mother. Usually here's what I do on Mother's Day. I pick out a mother out of the Bible. I feel like that's what God wants and felt like it was for this day as well. I want to preach on a mother named Eunice. I suspect many of you here don't even know who Eunice is. Not aware of who she is. Her mother's name was Lois. Kindly different names, I guess, for our society. But Eunice raised a godly son who was used greatly by the Lord. His name was Timothy. And so I want to talk to you for a little while about this mother named Eunice. And I can't stay long on these points. I've got 11 little points I want to bring to you. That's scary, I know, but that's what I want to try to do. And I want you to just hold your place there. And I know I'm here lately, seem like I've been... I really don't like to flip because people get focused on finding the text and miss the message. But I do want to look in Acts 16, and there's three passages, and two of them are in 2 Timothy and one in Acts. And I will read these to you, and I'll give you time to get there. Maybe it'll help you to read as well. Acts, hold your place, because we're coming right back to 2 Timothy. Now, there will be some supposition in what I'm saying today. And I know that's dangerous, and you can discount it or discard it if you want, but I want you to notice Acts chapter 16 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." Now, as I look at that, we start thinking about Timothy. There's some things we don't know. We don't know his father's not mentioned again, as far as I know, in the Word of God. We don't know if they're still married. We don't know if his father's divorced, if his father and mother's divorced. We don't know if his father's dead. We just know we don't hear from him anymore in the Scriptures. And so as we look at this and start thinking about this, there's some things we don't know. But there, it seems that we could say this, that Eunice was not the perfect person. She probably was unequally yoked together. I tend to think that, just supposition, think what you want to think, but I tend to think he's still living and most likely unsaved. That's what I'd like to think about Timothy's father, who is a Greek. And we know this, that Eunice very well married in a situation that wasn't ideal. The Jews looked down upon marrying a Gentile. They felt superior and looked down on that. And so as we look at Eunice, I want you to understand this. And I'm going to start mentioning some good things about Eunice in a little bit. But she wasn't a perfect person. She had she been in the Jewish tradition, she would have had her son circumcised and she would have maybe, and I understand that's Judaism and now we're in Christianity, but you would have thought by the time she's old enough to have children as a younger child, she would have embraced some of those truths and maybe carried them on. So it seems Eunice was not a perfect person. She had some challenges in her past. And I just kind of want to establish to you, no godly mother in this room is a perfect person. They're just not. But you can still be a godly mother and not be a perfect person. I want you to get a hold of that. I'm just trying to establish that before we begin. Maybe sometimes when we look at some of these mothers and all I do is identify the positive, you think that's some kind of super person. But can I say Eunice was not. It seems to me she may have married, her marriage may have been an unequal yoke. And so I just want you to keep that in mind. But can I say this? She, number one, she did not allow her past to affect what she ought to do with her son or her child in the present. Now in this room, there may be some mothers that's not really had I don't want to say a honorable past, but they may not have had a perfect religious past. They may have struggled some spiritually in the past. But regardless of what the past holds, based on Eunice, we can say this. Whether your past is checkered or whether it has some things you're ashamed of, that doesn't have to keep you from being a godly mother today. I want you to get a hold of that. Because some folks, they let their past just drag them down and hold them back and keep them from what they ought to be in the present. And, Mom, you can be a godly mother regardless of what your past has held for you. And so that's the one of the first truths that I see. But I want to say this. She did not allow the difficulty of her home to keep her from being a godly mother. Now, I can't say that her husband was still living, but I want to think that. And if that was the case, you know, with him being a Greek and her being a Jew and them having two different cultural backgrounds and most likely him not being a believer, that there was difficulty in the home. You would have to think that. It would only make sense to me that they would have some problems when it come to dealing and parenting young Timothy. But here's the truth I think we can gain from Eunice is
that in spite of the difficulties of her home and in spite of her maybe being unequally yoked together, she was still able to raise a son for the glory of God. And Mama, I want to say this to you. Don't use the difficulties of your home to excuse you from being the godly wife or the godly mother, I should say, that you ought to be. Don't allow that. And so just the first two points I want to make, and I probably could have made them as one point. She did not allow her past, and she did not allow the difficulty of the present keep her from being the godly mother that she needed to be. And so we see that little truth in the text before we go any farther. And so now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I want to look at verse number 5 first. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, that means not fake, that means real. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So here is a lady maybe who has married wrong or married unequally yoked or is unequally yoked together, but she does not allow the wrongs of her past or the difficulty of the present to affect her. But I want to just say this, and I probably should have said this first. She was the mother she ought to have been because she was a born-again believer. I should have said that first, I guess. But the fact of the matter is, now listen, Mother, there might be somebody here who's not saved, but I want you to understand this. You may love your children, be a good mother. You'll never be the mother you ought to be until you're saved and know the love of God in your heart. Now that's the truth of the matter. And that's, I'm not throwing off on those who are unsaved and are good parents, but the right kind of mother is a born-again mother. And so we see that she was born again. And then we see this, she was more than just a believer. She was more than just a believer. She had unfeigned faith. She wasn't a fake. She wasn't a hypocrite. She wasn't one to say, do as I say and not as I do. She was real. And Mom, here's what I'm afraid of. Sometimes, I've seen it go both ways. Sometimes Mama expects more out of their children than they're willing to do themselves. And I'm just going to say to you, that's not right. Mom, you ought to set the bar high and you ought to set the example for the children. And if you don't do that, they'll know who you really are. And you will lose your influence with your children. That's right. Oh, there's some mamas, they act like they're so serious about the godliness of their children. They'll lay out of church. They'll do whatever they want to do. Whatever's convenient. They'll go out with the family and miss church or do this and do that. Hey, can I say to you, your children know who you are, Mom. They know. They know if you're playing church. They know if you're serious about serving God. My, here was Eunice and she had an unfeigned faith. I'm afraid we've got a lot of feigned faith out there. We've got a lot of fakes out there. They act like they're serious about God. They're not serious about God. And they fool the preacher. They fool their friends. But you will not fool your children. You won't do it. So I challenge you, Mom, if you're going to be a godly mama, be real. Be real. Why so important? Here is Eunice, and she was real. Don't expect your children to take you seriously if you're not real spiritually. Don't they know. Then I want to say this about Eunice. I know I'm going rather fast, but I think that's what needs to be done today. She patterned herself, I think, after a godly role model. It seems what her mother was is what she was. If I just read this text, it seems, let me read it to you again, see if you agree with me. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. It looks to me like Eunice followed in Lois's footsteps. Would y'all agree with that? I started thinking about that. I'd like to say to you, mothers, you need to find you a good role model to pattern your life after. Not just a role model, good godly role model to pattern your life. I watch a lot of mothers, and they're so independent. They think they know so much, and they're so far ahead, and they won't listen to anybody. Can I say, it would behoove you, Mom, to find some old mother that's been in the way for a while that's raised godly children and pattern your life after them. It'd make a difference. I believe that. I believe that'd be good for all of us, just to be honest with you. I believe every one of us needs somebody we're looking up to. Maybe somebody's done passed on, somebody that's walked before us and they're on the other side now, but we've watched their life and we've seen what they are and we know they were real and God used them. Can I say what y'all do? Y'all pattern your life after somebody like that. Y'all exalt them in your life and follow them. Paul told, he told those he preached to, follow me. There's nothing wrong with following a godly role model. Nothing wrong with it. Fact of the matter, it's biblical. I know what some say, well, I just follow the Lord. You probably don't know enough about the Scriptures to follow the Lord if you've got that attitude. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Somebody mentioned it this morning. It's right for you to follow. We all need a godly role model. Who is your role model? Some athlete? Some movie star? Some money maker? I don't know, but I'll tell you what y'all do. Y'all to find some old godly saint and just make them your role model. Yeah, amen. It looks like to me, if I'm looking at this verse right, that Eunice was probably close to her mother and just followed in her steps. My, if we could just get our young ladies to follow in some of these old saints' footsteps, there ain't no telling what might transpire down the road. Here's Eunice, and she's followed in the steps of her mother. And now here's little Timothy, a little, I guess, a nobody till Paul called him or dealt with him, Brother Bud. Just really, had Paul not called him, we'd never known about him. But he'd been just as godly if Paul hadn't called him. But the fact of the matter was the Lord wanted to magnify him in the Scriptures, or the Holy Spirit did. And so we have the account of his life. And here's Eunice. She raised the boy. And I don't know if we could say he took the place of the Apostle Paul, but he seemed to carry on his ministry after Paul stepped off the scene. It was as if Paul was grooming him to pick up where he left off and to go on. And can I say that behind Timothy was a godly mother? Mom, can I just tell you, we need you to be godly. I don't know how to say that anymore. We need you to be godly. Train these children in the way they ought to go. Oh my, where are the godly mothers today? Our world's in the shape it's in because we've made light of motherhood. And then I want you to turn to chapter 3, and I'll give you the rest of these little points. And I'm not going to, maybe this is more a Sunday school lesson than it is a message. But Mom, I want to help you. I want to help you. Mom, do you have a godly role model? Why don't you find you one and follow in their steps? Don't let the devil taunt you with your past. Don't let the difficulty of the present keep you from being what you ought to be. We need godly mothers today. But then in chapter 3, let's read verse 14 and 15. I'll give you, really, I guess this is the bulk of where I'm at. But in chapter 3, verse 14, it says this, "But continue thou in the things," this is Paul writing to young Timothy, "but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Now, here's what it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Now, it very well could be Paul is talking about those who have taught Timothy in the church. It could very well be that. But can I say, when Timothy heard that, he knew some that had taught him besides those who had discipled him as he had grown inside the church. He knew of a mom and a grandmother, no doubt, who had taught him as a child the Holy Scriptures. I mean, who taught him as a child if it wasn't his mother and his grandmother? Here is a fellow, and here's what Paul's saying when he says that. You and I may think of preachers and teachers, but I suspect when Timothy got a hold of that, started thinking, maybe his mind even went back to when he was just a child and mom and grandma was teaching him what thus saith the word of God. Here's what I'm saying. As we look in this text, she realized the importance of the scripture in her son's life. Can you get that out of that text? Am I pushing that text too far? Let me ask you, can you remember? You know, I can remember my little primary Sunday school teacher and them little truths. She'd give us a little Kool-Aid and a cookie, and she'd give us a little lesson, Brother Bud. I still remember that. I was just a little fella, but she was teaching me. I remember Mom teaching me, "Don't you put anything on that Bible. That's a holy book." I remember those little truths. They have stayed with me, Brother Allen. I'm sure, knowing your parents, that your mama taught you things about the Word of God that's still with you today. Mom, what I'm trying to say, the truths of the Word of God are critical for your child's life. Amen. You know that's right. She realized the importance of the scriptures in her child's life. And here's what I think every godly mother realizes that. But then, and I've preached on this many times, I believe she saw in her child maybe something everybody else didn't see. Well, maybe little Timmy. I see little Timmy here. I bet he might grow up and be a preacher one of these days. That's what I see out of these kids. I don't just see kids running around here. Man, I see teachers and preachers and deacons and song leaders, Sunday school teachers, missionaries. There ain't no telling if God chooses not to come back. There ain't no telling what God might do with this crowd. These girls would be preachers' wives, missionaries' wives, and teachers, all them things. Man, they ain't no telling what God does. Can I say the potential is unlimited, what God could do with this little set of young people in this church. Here's what I think. I think she realized the importance of the scriptures in her son's life. But I think, too, she saw what it could be. Maybe nobody else thought. They'd probably seen a little misbehaving, scuffing up the furniture or spilling something on the carpet, kid. But not old Eunice. She looked a little Timothy. And she saw something. She saw a vessel that God could use for His glory and His honor. Mom, do you see that in your children? Do you see that in your children? Do you see the importance of the Scriptures in your child's life? Some of these kids can quote more Scripture than I've ever quoted in my life. So they, at one time, they was quoting whole books of the Bible. Man, can I tell you, all that's doing is planting the Word of God in their heart so that one day, one day when they need it, the Holy Ghost can reach inside of them and bring that Scripture back to mind. Don't you understand that? Oh my, I've got these Scriptures about the importance of the Scripture. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How's your kid going to cleanse their way when they get sideways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You know why they need the Word of God? So when they get dirty, they can clean themselves up. That's right. That's what the Word of God will do. It'll clean you up when you get dirty. Mama, teach your child the Word of God. Oh, somewhere they're going to get dirty. They're going to need to clean up. And it's the Word of God that will help them do so. Oh, my, it stirs in my soul. It stirs in my soul. Here's a little verse we used to be the, we had that little lambs program many years ago. And this was the little theme verse that we used. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That's right, Brother Bud. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Well, why is it important for me to waste my time teaching my children Scripture? They don't even care about it. Because that word hidden in your heart will keep you from sin. Not only will it clean you up when you get dirty, it'll keep you from getting dirty if you are clean. Amen. Mom, listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. One of the most important things you can do as a mother is help your child get the Word of God in their heart. Amen. See, what this teaches me, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, somebody thought it was important to get the Word of God to him. And so, on and on, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And the next verse got down, the entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. You know how to take a simple-minded child and make him wise? Give him the Word of God. Here's what you're saying. Well, this is just ABC. This is ABC. We know this. Why aren't we doing it? Why, Mom, do we invest and take them all over the country to do everything else, but we don't have time? Really, we don't even have time to read the Bible and pray with them of a day. Isn't that right? Isn't that where we're at? If the devil can't do anything to you, he'll get you so busy you don't have time to do what you ought to do. That's where we're at. We run from early in the morning to late at night, come in and crawl in the bed, don't have time for anything. My, we don't have time to read the Bible with our children and help them with the Scriptures and pray with them. Can I say, Mom, you're too busy. I hope this ain't sounding harsh. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just trying to help. I'm trying to help you, Mom, because we need godly mothers. So important. In this same chapter, if you would look, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is, what's that next word? Profitable. You say, I want to do something to help my kids. I want to do something that benefit them. Something that'll be profitable for them later in life. Can I tell you what's profitable for them? The Word of God. Mom, I don't think you realize how important you are sometimes. I know people don't. Mom, I don't think you realize. Here's what it is. Mom loses her identity. She's so-and-so's wife. She's so-and-so's mother. She's this. She's never who she is. She's always spoken of in relation to somebody else. But can I tell you that's just how it is. When you're doing the Lord's work, you're not much thought of. But can I tell you, Mom, let me say, I believe with all my heart you're critical. You're critical to the spiritual well-being of your children. I believe we've lost sight of that. And here's Eunice. Who knew? You probably didn't even know who Eunice was when I said her name. Or some of you didn't anyways. You didn't even know who she was. And she raised one of the godliest young men there was of that day. I mean, he stood out to Paul. And Paul had high standards. And Paul said, he saw all of them there in the church. He said, that's the one I want right there. You know why he was what he was? Because of Eunice. And really, I could trace it on back. I could say because of Lois. And you grandmothers, let me say this. You grandmothers are important too. A godly grandmother's important. How many of you, if I asked you to raise your hand, you might not have had parents that was what they ought to be, but you had no godly grandmother. And that grandmother just has a soft spot in your heart. I heard somebody talking to me my neighbor was talking to me, and he said this, Mom would want to get rid of him in the summer, she'd send me down. He was talking about his grandfather. But it's the same principle. And you know what he said? He said, I love that old man. Yeah. He taught me how to work. He was telling me all that grandpa had done for him. Can I say, grandparents, you may not have done so good with your children, but I try to put, I know you can't step over and be their parent. That's not the right thing to do, but by you be an influence in their life. Be a godly influence in their life. You make a difference. Every time I get around my grandkids, I try to give them a little something. I'll tell them something about the Lord if I get them off to the shelf. You know why? Because I know the truths of the Word of God's going to make a difference. Mama, we need you. We need you to be what you ought to be. Here's Eunice. Can I say she realized the importance of Scripture. She realized her child was something special. And I'm just going to say this again. Every child in this building is special. There's a place in God's work for every one of them. That's exactly right. But then, she was a mother who knew the Scriptures. She knew the Scriptures. You know how I know that? Because Timothy, she taught them to Timothy. You know why moms can't teach their children truths of the Word of God? They don't know themselves. Mom, you may not know much, but y'all try to learn. Y'all not just come in here and let the preacher tell you what he has to say or the Sunday school teacher. Your children's too precious to entrust them to us. You ought to be sure the Word of God gets in their heart and life. You ought to make a point to do that. And you can't do that unless you know what thus saith the Word of God. Well, is that right or is that wrong? You know that's right. I see some people, and they're good people, and they're godly people, and I think they're real. But I've seen some of them, they don't know enough of the Word of God to, they don't have a thumbnail truth of the Word of God. Can I say they're a sitting duck for the devil? And their children are sitting ducks for the devil. I feel like I'm coming across harsh, and I don't want to be. I want to be kind and helpful to you. You've got to know what thus saith the Word of God if you're going to teach these kids. She knew the Scriptures. How do I know that she knew the Scriptures? She taught them to her son. And can I say she was willing to sacrifice for her children? Now, fact of the matter is, teaching children is a tedious task. Y'all have heard it so much, my grandkids pick at me about it. Repetition is what? The mother of learning. You just teach, and you teach, and you teach. And I heard one of these ladies, I don't know which one it was, we've got three or four that's trained in a public school, and they said to me this: when you start teaching children how to read, you think they'll never learn how to read, and then one day it just seems to click with them. That ain't exactly how they said it, but they said by the end of the year, everything starts to fall in place and just clicks. But during the year, it's so frustrating. You say the again and again and again, you do the same things. And here's Eunice, and you know she had things to do. If she is married to an unsaved man, he didn't want her wasting her time. He wanted her helping do whatever to make money or to enjoy pleasure or to take care of the things he cared about, whatever it was. You know she had other responsibilities. And you know he didn't learn those little truths immediately. All he had was Old Testament Scriptures, by the way. He had types. He didn't have the New Testament like we have it. They just had types. And here she is, and she teaches the little fella. And she asks him next day, well, what about the same thing she taught? I don't know. Your mamas know. That's kind of how it is, isn't it? You teach and then you ask, I don't know. You teach again and I don't know. And then after a while they get hold of it. But it's so tiring. It takes sacrifice. It takes investment of time and energy. I guess Kelly Beth, if I go back to my example of her on the piano stool with Ben, I bet you wanted to pull your hair out sometime. Driving you crazy, but you stayed with it. And he grasped the truth she wanted him to grasp. And so is it in the Scripture. Oh, listen, Mama, teach them again and again and again and again and again. After a while, it'll be real in their heart and life. She's willing to sacrifice her time, her energy, her focus, her planning, her thinking. Thinking about how to, no doubt she had time she had to spend thinking, how am I going to get this truth across? How is he going to learn that? But she knew it was important. She was willing to invest in Timothy's life. Mom, let me just ask you, how much time are you investing in your child's life spiritually? How much spiritual time are you investing in your child's life? Is it important? If you're not investing time in their spiritual life, here's what we're saying. Now, you're not saying it verbally, but your children's hearing it by your actions. It's not important. That's what you're saying. Grandma, let me ask you this. Mama, grandmother, whatever polite term to use, let me ask you this. How much are you praying for your children, grandchildren? Are your children, grandchildren worth 10 minutes each a day to pray for? You say, I couldn't pray 10 minutes. You can't pray 10 minutes. You can't pray for their protection. You can't pray for God to deliver your grandchildren from temptation. You can't pray for your grandchildren's parents. You can't pray for your grandchildren. You know one of my prayer requests? God give my grandchildren godly spouses. I pray that just about every day. That's a daily prayer request, because I know after salvation, that, as far as I'm concerned, that's the next most important thing. You can't pray. Mother, are you praying? Are you praying 10 minutes for your children? Oh, God, would you put godly friends in my child's life? Would you put in their heart a desire to serve you? Would you put in their heart a desire to come to a godly church? Would you put in their heart what it, fill in the blank? You know, maybe none of us are as godly as we think we ought to be. I wonder if we even pray for our children, grandchildren, individually 10 minutes a day. Are they worth 10 minutes of prayer? Now, I know that answer. And you know that answer. And what's more important than the spiritual? Would you rather them know the Word of God than to do ballet? I'm just come to my mind. I don't think there's a soul in here that does ballet. But is it more important for them to learn the arts than to learn the Word of God? To participate in pleasure more than the Word of God? To learn how to make money and work a job more than the Word of God? Are your children worth some of your time? How much time is your children worth? Well, you don't understand. Yeah, I do understand. You're entangled in the world. I am too. We all are. We're entangled. You say you're not. Yesterday I got up at 7 o'clock and went to bed at 11. Seemed like I was busy the whole time. Here's what Eunice did. She said, my boy's worthy of my time. It's worthy of me to teach them about the things of God. Oh, how we need godly mothers. And let me just say, I know it's not Father's Day, but we need godly fathers too. She sacrificed for her children. I'll just give you a couple of those. She was a mother of perseverance. She persevered. I've already talked about that. You can't give them for a week, give them whatever amount of time you feel like's right as a mama to give your children, and then quit and say, well, I've done my job. Hey, it takes 20 years to raise children, and most of the time they're not adults at that age. Isn't that right? Y'all grinning at you, young folks are grinning. You're not grown up at 20 years old. I wasn't grown up at 30 years old. Well, you know that's right. It's a lifetime. When they get grown, if you that's got grown children, you worry more when they're grown than you do when they're little. You had control when they're little. You have no control now. You just, I start to say all you can do is pray, but the most important thing you can do is pray. That's truth. She is a mother. She is a mother who persevered. She stayed after it. They're not quick. Children are not quick learners. Many times they fight against the efforts of mom. It takes a while to overcome that rebellion. I guess what I've been trying to say through all this is we need godly mothers who will invest in their children. Mom, what are you willing to invest spiritually speaking? I know you invest in their education. You invest in their activities. But what are you willing to invest spiritually? What are you willing to give up to help your children spiritually? And then can I say this, and I'll close with this right here. I preached way too long this morning. She knew when to let go. Psalm 127, children are arrows in the hand of a mighty man. You know arrows in the, what do you call that thing on the back? Quiver? Arrows in the quiver are of no value. Maybe they give security to the archer. Maybe they have a little value, but they do no work until they're taken out of the quiver, put in the bow, aimed in the right direction, and turned loose. You see, if you've got children at home, it's not time to turn them loose. But there's coming a day you're going to have to take your hands off. You're going to have to turn them loose. And it's then that you're going to wish. It's then you're going to wish you'd done everything you could, everything in your power to get truth and get the truth of the Word of God in their heart and life. Some parents destroy their children because they're never able to turn loose. It's right to turn loose at the right time. And that's what she did. You don't see her when Paul said, now I want Timothy. You don't see her, no, you can't take my son. He's too precious. I don't want him to risk his life. I don't want him to be gone from where he's at. Or you don't see none of that. She turned him loose. She turned him loose. I want to say to the moms today, since it's Mother's Day, I'm focused on them, I guess. Here's Eunice. And I want to ask you this as we close. What are you willing to invest? Have you invested what you could, what you think you should have? Are you doing it the way it should be? Are you too busy to be the godly mama you ought to be? I know you love your children. But if you do love them, do you see the spiritual value of your children, of getting truth in your children? I'll tell you what I would do if I wasn't, what I ought to be as a mother. I believe what I would do this morning, but for my children's sake, for nobody else, I believe I'd just purpose in my heart to the Lord. Lord, I'm going to let some of these other things go. And I'm going to be, with your help, I'm going to be that godly mother that I ought to be. Let's bow our heads this morning. I know I've preached long, but I hope it's been a help to somebody. I hope it has. While she plays, maybe God spoke to your heart. And if he did, and you want to repent or you want to change,